Okay, so are you ready to dive into the world of OGRE 3D?
Oh, absolutely. I've been looking forward to this one.
Our listener this time around sent in a ton of info on this open source graphics engine, and honestly, it's a lot to take in.
It's true. OGRE is incredibly powerful and versatile.
So we're going to try to break it all down, focusing on the highlights.
Yeah, we'll cover everything from building those epic scenes to navigating the trickier parts, you know?
Exactly like those how-to moments that can really trip you up.
Yes, exactly.
So the first thing our listener tackled was actually building OGRE itself, which
You're right.
sounds a little intimidating for those of us who aren't exactly compiler wizards.
Yeah, I can see how that might seem daunting, but OGRE actually uses this system called CMake, and it's really designed to make that whole process a lot smoother.
Okay, so CMake is like our trusty sidekick here,
Exactly.
guiding us through the build process.
Yeah, think of it like a universal translator for different operating systems. So whether you're on Windows, Linux, or something else,
Right.
CMake makes sure you can build the engine without having to become a build system guru overnight.
Okay, that's a relief because I was not looking forward to adding build system expert to my resume.
So luckily, OGRE takes care of that for you.
So we've got CMake working behind the scenes.
It is really fundamental to the whole development process. You'll become very familiar with it.
Got it. So once we're all set up, let's talk about actually making something visually awesome with OGRE.
Okay, sounds good.
The document mentioned these things called entities, and I'm getting some object-oriented programming vibes from that term.
You're on the right track. An entity in OGRE is essentially anything you see represented by a 3D model. So your hero running around that scary dragon,
Right.
even those massive detailed landscapes, it's all entities under the hood.
So it's like we're digitally placing actors and props on a stage.
That's a great way to put it. It's like having this magic toolbox, but instead of pulling out a rabbit, you're pulling out entire worlds.
I like the sound of that kind of magic.
Definitely.
But actors need their marks,
It's
right?
true.
How does OGRE handle positioning these entities in a scene?
Good question. That's where scene nodes come in. Think of them like invisible anchors that hold your entities in place.
Invisible anchors, I like it.
You attach an entity to a scene node, and then by moving or rotating that node, you're essentially positioning your object in that 3D world.
So each scene node is like a puppet master for its entity.
I love that analogy.
And just like a puppet show, needs a stage manager to keep everything organized.
OGRE has a scene manager.
Exactly.
Right.
It's keeping track of all those scene nodes, entities, cameras, lights, everything that makes your virtual world work.
This is starting to sound like a well-choreographed dance. We've got our dancers and the stage, even the director.
Wait.
But what about setting the mood with lighting? The document mentioned OGRE, it gets pretty detailed there.
Oh, yeah, it does. It lets you create all sorts of light sources. You've got spotlights for dramatic effect, directional lights to mimic the sun, even point lights like you'd have for a flickering torch or a campfire.
So we can get really creative with the lighting.
Absolutely.
And this might be a silly question, but it wouldn't be a proper deep dive if I didn't ask, does OGRE support shadows? Oh, you are definitely not the first person to ask that. And for good reason, shadows, they make a huge difference. It's like the difference between a flat drawing and a 3D sculpture, you know?
Right. It's all about adding that extra layer of depth and realism.
Exactly. And our listener was particularly interested in how OGRE handles those massive landscapes we were talking about earlier, specifically this thing called terrain paging.
Right. Because rendering a huge, detailed world sounds like it could bring even a powerful computer to its knees.
Oh, absolutely. It can be incredibly demanding, and that's where terrain paging comes in.
So, how does it work?
Imagine those old flipbooks where you only see a small portion of the image at any given time.
Okay, I can picture that.
Terrain paging uses a similar idea. It only loads and renders the parts of the terrain that are actually visible to the camera.
It's so clever.
It's a really smart way to save processing power.
So it's like streaming the world as you go.
Exactly.
That's really neat. But a world needs a sky too, right? What options does OGRE offer for giving our virtual world that perfect backdrop?
Well, OGRE has you covered there too. It gives you three main options for creating a sky. You've got sky boxes, sky domes, and sky planes.
Okay, so those are our sky options.
Yes, each one offers a different level of complexity and realism.
Could you break those down for us a bit?
Sure, sky boxes are the simplest. It's basically a cube with a texture wrapped around it. It's really efficient, especially for scenes with a limited view distance.
Okay.
But if you want something that looks a bit more realistic, especially for scenes with a wide field of view, you might want to consider a sky dome.
Right, so it's about choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly. And then we have sky planes, which are kind of a clever illusion. They use a single plane to simulate a vast distant sky.
Interesting.
It's surprisingly effective for creating a sense of scale. And here's the best part. You can combine these techniques with atmospheric effects like fog to really immerse players in the environment.
Now we're talking atmosphere. I love a good fog effect. Adds a bit of mystery, you know?
Exactly. And speaking of mystery, our listener is a big Python fan.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and they were curious about using Python with OGRE.
Well, can you even do that?
You absolutely can. OGRE is surprisingly flexible when it comes to programming languages, and it works really well with Python.
Okay, so if our listener is a Python enthusiast, they can actually use their existing skills to build within their OGRE projects.
Exactly. You can use Python for all sorts of things, like building those user interfaces, debugging your game. It's pretty great.
That's really cool. I love how versatile OGRE is.
Yeah.
So we've got this powerful engine that's also beginner-friendly.
Yes.
It's not every day you find that combination.
It's true. And it's one of the things that makes OGRE such a great tool for both learning and for serious game development.
I'm sold. Are you ready to dive into some more advanced features?
Absolutely. Let's do it.
Welcome back. It feels like we've already covered so much ground in the world of OGRE.
We have. It's a really deep dive today.
It really is. We've explored the basics of building scenes and characters, talked about those impressive lighting and terrain features OGR offers.
And we're just getting started.
Exactly. Our listener is eager to explore some of the more advanced features.
Of course.
And they were particularly interested in something called working with NumPy. Now, I have to admit, that sounds more like a snack than a game development tool.
It does sound a little bit delicious, but don't worry, we won't be munching on any code today.
Okay, good to know.
NumPy is actually a really powerful Python library.
Okay.
It's all about handling mathematical calculations and manipulating that 3D data. And the great thing is OGRE works seamlessly with NumPy.
So we're talking about bridging the gap between OGRE's C++ core and the Python world.
You got it.
Yeah.
It's like having a secret passageway between those two worlds.
I like those secret passageways. Makes things much easier.
Exactly. And with NumPy, you can use those familiar Python tools to work with vertices, matrices, all that good 3D data directly from Python.
It's like having the best of both worlds.
Exactly.
That's really neat.
Yeah.
But what if you want to create those in-game interfaces or build some debugging tools? I recall the document mentioning something called the Trays GUI system.
Trays GUI system.
Is that OGRE's way of handling those user interface elements?
It is. It's actually a surprisingly simple and intuitive system for building those elements that you interact with in games.
So we're talking about things like menus, buttons, sliders, all those interactive bits?
Exactly.
Oh, cool.
It's designed to be very lightweight, easy to use, perfect for when you just need to create those simple interfaces, or even if you're prototyping or building those debugging tools.
Right. So it's like having a really quick and efficient way to get those interactive elements up and running without having to dive into a more complex DOI library.
Precisely.
Yeah.
And the coolest part, it's built right on top of OGRE's overlay system, so it integrates really seamlessly with your 3D scene.
So you can use it for things like heads-up displays, in-game menus,
yeah,
even those interactive debugging tools we were just talking about.
Exactly. It's very versatile.
It sounds like Trays GI is like that trusty Swiss Army knife of user interface. Design lots of options without being overly complicated.
That's a great way to put it. It really simplifies the process of building those essential user interactions.
I like it when things are simplified.
Me too.
Especially in game development, which can get really complex really quickly. Speaking of complexity, how does OGRE handle situations where you want to fine-tune that performance, you know, really squeeze every ounce of power out of your game?
It is a balancing act for sure. Well, OGRE actually has a really useful tool for this called the Profiler.
Okay, a profiler. What exactly is that?
Think of it like an X-ray vision into your game's performance. It shows you exactly how much time is being spent on different tasks like rendering, physics, AI, all those things that make your game run.
So it helps you pinpoint those areas where things might be slowing down those bottlenecks in the code.
Exactly. And once you know where those bottlenecks are, you can optimize them, make things run much smoother.
It's like having a performance coach, but for your game.
I love that analogy.
So instead of timing sprints, we're timing how long it takes to render a frame.
Exactly. And OGRE's profiler, it doesn't just throw raw numbers at you. It actually provides these really helpful visualizations to help you make sense of all that data.
So it's like having those fancy graphs and charts, but for your game's performance.
Exactly. You can even drill down into specific parts of your code, pinpoint those performance hotspots.
This is all incredibly insightful. But before we move on to some other cool OGRE features, I wanted to touch on one last optimization technique that our listener asked about, Reverse depth.
Ah, yes, reverse depth.
It sounds a bit like something out of a time travel movie. What's the deal with that?
Well, it doesn't involve time travel,
What's
unfortunately,
that?
but it is a really clever technique for improving depth precision in 3D rendering.
Okay, so tell us more about that. What exactly is depth precision?
Imagine you're looking at a scene in a video game, and there are objects that are both close to you and far away.
Okay, I'm picturing it.
Depth precision basically determines how accurately the computer can represent those distances.
Okay, so it's about making sure those objects are displayed correctly and realistically.
Exactly. And it's particularly important for those objects that are close to the camera because that's where those small differences in depth are much more noticeable.
So it's like using a finer measuring tape for those close-up details.
That's a great way to put it.
I'm getting good at the analogies today.
You are.
But does this reverse depth thing actually make a difference visually?
Oh, absolutely. It can make a big difference. It helps to minimize those annoying visual artifacts, those weird things that can happen when the computer has trouble figuring out which object is in front.
Right, like when you get that flickering or shimmering effect, it's
Yeah,
always so distracting.
exactly. Those are usually caused by something called Z fighting, and reverse depth is designed to prevent that.
So it's like a special filter that makes those issues disappear.
You could say that. It's like having those X-ray specs that let you see through walls, but for depth perception in your game.
Okay. I'm definitely sold on reverse depth.
Yeah.
It sounds like a really clever solution to a common problem, but is it something that works on every system?
Well, that's the catch. It's not universally supported. You do need a graphics card that can handle it.
So it's like having a secret weapon, but only if you have the right equipment.
Exactly. But it's definitely a tool worth knowing about, especially if you're aiming for that cinematic level of detail in your scenes.
Okay, so we've talked about optimizing performance, fine-tuning those details,
Right.
but I'm ready for some more of that wow factor. The document mentioned something called external texture source. We've talked about textures before, but what makes these external ones so special?
Well, external texture source, that's a bit of a mouthful, but it's a really cool feature because it lets you use data that doesn't come from those traditional image files.
Okay, now we're talking. That sounds intriguing. What kind of unconventional data are we talking about here?
Think about things like video streams, procedurally generated textures, even data that's coming from external sensors or devices.
So instead of just having those static images on your objects, you could have textures that are constantly changing or reacting to something happening in the real world.
Exactly. It adds a whole other level of interactivity and realism to your game.
Okay, I'm starting to see the potential here. This could lead to some really creative and unique visual effects.
Absolutely. That's what's so exciting about external texture sources. They really open up the possibilities for what you can do with textures.
But how does it actually work? I mean, managing all these different types of data sources sounds incredibly complex.
It can be, but OGRE is actually very well equipped to handle it. It provides this really flexible system for managing those external texture sources, and you can write your own plugins to handle specific types of data.
So it's like having a team of specialized chefs, each one an expert in a particular type of cuisine.
I like that analogy. And because OGRE system is plugin-based, it's super easy to extend it to support those new and emerging texture technologies without having to mess around with the core code of the engine.
That's really cool. It's like having a future-proof engine that can adapt to whatever new technology comes along.
Exactly. It's one of those features that really highlights OGRE's potential for pushing the boundaries of real-time 3D rendering.
Speaking of pushing boundaries, the document also mentioned a technique called shadow mapping. Now, we've talked about shadows before, but this sounds like a whole other level of sophistication.
You're right. Shadow mapping is a really powerful technique for rendering realistic shadows, and OGRE has a really comprehensive and customizable implementation of it.
Okay, that sounds impressive, but I have to admit, I'm a little bit lost on the technical side of things.
Yeah.
How exactly does shadow mapping work?
Okay, so imagine you have a spotlight shining on a scene.
Okay, I can picture that.
To create shadows using shadow mapping, OGRE actually renders the scene twice. First, it renders it from the perspective of the light source.
So, like, the spotlight is our camera now.
Exactly. And during this first pass, OGRE captures the depth information for the scene, essentially how far away each object is from that light source.
So, it's creating a map of the scene, but based on depth instead of color.
Exactly. That's the shadow map. And then when it renders the scene the second time from the player's perspective, it uses that shadow map to determine which areas should be in shadow.
So it compares the depth of each pixel to that shadow map, and if it's farther away than the corresponding point on the map, it's in shadow.
Got it. It's a really clever technique.
It is clever.
Yeah.
But it also sounds like it could be pretty computationally expensive. You know, all that extra rendering and calculations.
That's true. It can be demanding, but OGRE offers a bunch of different options for fine-tuning the performance.
Okay, good, because we don't want our games turning into slideshows.
Exactly. You can adjust things like the resolution of the shadow map, use different filtering techniques, even choose from some more advanced shadowing algorithms.
Okay, so it's like having a whole toolbox for customizing those shadows, finding the right balance between quality and performance.
Exactly. And OGRE's shadow mapping system is constantly being improved, with new techniques and optimizations being added all the time.
This is all incredibly fascinating. It's amazing how much work goes into creating something that we often take for granted in games like realistic shadows. But what if our listener wants to really take things to the next level?
Go on.
What if they want to create those truly stunning and dynamic lighting effects that really make their game stand out? The document mentions something called deferred shading, which sounds like a completely different approach to rendering than what we've talked about so far. Welcome back for the final act of our OGRE 3D deep dive.
The grand finale.
It feels like we've been on an incredible adventure exploring all these amazing features.
We have covered a lot of ground.
We really have. From building those basic scenes to mastering lights and shadows, and even those advanced rendering techniques OGRE has to offer.
It's a testament to how much you can really do with this engine.
It really is. And speaking of advanced techniques, the document our listener sent in mentioned something called deferred shading. Is that what we're diving into now?
It is, and it's a bit of a game changer when it comes to rendering graphics.
Okay, because I have to admit, the name alone, deferred shading, it doesn't exactly scream user-friendly to me.
I can see that. It sounds a little intimidating, but it's actually a really elegant solution.
Elegant. Okay, I like that. So what's the basic idea here?
Well, in traditional rendering, you light each object individually, right?
Okay, I'm following you.
So imagine you have a bunch of spotlights all pointing at a disco ball.
Okay, now we're talking my language.
You have to calculate how each of those spotlights affects the disco ball separately.
Right. Makes sense.
Deferred shading takes a totally different approach. Instead of lighting each object individually, it lights the entire scene all at once.
Wait, hold on. How do you even do that?
I'm glad you asked. It's actually a two-step process.
Okay, and what are those steps?
So first, OGRE creates this special set of textures called the G-buffer.
The G-buffer kitschy.
Right. Think of it like a blueprint of your scene.
Okay.
It stores all sorts of information about each pixel, the color, the depth, the surface orientation, everything.
So it's like taking a super detailed snapshot of the scene before any lighting is applied.
Exactly. Then instead of lighting each object individually, OGRE uses this G-buffer to calculate all the lighting for the entire scene at once.
That is seriously clever.
It's a really elegant solution, and because it separates the lighting calculations from the rest of the rendering process,
right,
it makes it way easier to implement those really complex lighting effects like soft shadows, ambient occlusion.
You're speaking my language now.
Yeah.
Those are the effects that really add that extra layer of realism.
Exactly. And deferred shading lets you achieve those effects without sacrificing performance, which is a big deal.
Huge, especially for game developers who are always trying to squeeze every last drop of performance out of their game.
Exactly. It's all about working smarter, not harder.
I like the sound of that.
Yeah.
So we've got deferred shading lighting up our scene, but the document also mentions something about post-processing. What is that all about?
Ah, yes, post-processing. That's where the real fun begins.
Okay, tell me more.
Remember that G-buffer we talked about, that snapshot of the scene? Post-processing effects are applied to that final image after everything else has been rendered.
So it's like adding filters to a photo, but for your entire game world.
Exactly. It lets you create this really cool cinematic effects.
Okay, give me some examples. What kind of effects are we talking about?
Oh man, all sorts of things. You can adjust the colors, add bloom to make bright objects really pop, even create that cool depth of field effect where the background is blurry.
So it's like having a whole toolbox of visual effects at your fingertips.
Exactly. And one of the coolest post-processing effects, and one that our listener was particularly interested in, is called Screen Space Ambient Occlusion, or SSAO for short.
SSAO. Okay, break that down for me. What makes SSAO so special?
SSAO is all about creating those really subtle, realistic shadows you see in those little nooks and crannies where light doesn't really reach.
Okay, yeah, like in the corners of a room or under a car.
Exactly. Right. It adds a lot of depth and realism to your scenes.
It's all about the details.
Exactly. And the best part is it doesn't have the same performance cost as those traditional shadow mapping techniques we talked about earlier.
So it's like a cheat code for better shadows.
Pretty much. And OGRE makes it super easy to implement. You just plug an SSAO component into your deferred shading pipeline and you're good to go.
I love it when things are easy.
Me too, especially in game development.
So we've got deferred shading giving us those amazing lighting effects and post-processing effects, adding that extra layer of polish.
It's like dressing up your game in a fancy outfit.
I like that analogy. But can you actually customize these pipelines? Or are we stuck with the default settings?
Oh, no, you can definitely customize them. OGRE's deferred shading framework is incredibly flexible.
Music to my ears.
You can use those building blocks as they are, or you can tweak them, modify them, create your own custom rendering effects. It's really up to you.
So it's like OGRE gives you both the paint-by-numbers version and the entire art studio.
Exactly. And that's one of the things that makes it such a powerful tool for game developers of all skill levels.
It's the best of both worlds. Okay, so we've explored these incredible rendering techniques, learned about all sorts of cool optimizations, but our listener had one last question about something called the Ogre Mesh Upgrader.
Ah, yes, the Ogre Mesh Upgrader.
What's that all about?
So you know how 3D models can sometimes be really complex and detailed?
Oh, yeah, definitely.
And all those details, they look great, but they can also slow your game down.
Right, it's always a trade-off.
Exactly. And that's where the Ogre Mesh Upgrader swoops in to save the day. It's basically a tool that optimizes your 3D models for you.
Okay, so it's like taking your game assets to a digital tailor.
I love that. That's a great way to put it. It analyzes your models, removes any unnecessary details, simplifies the geometry to make them more efficient.
So it's like a weight loss program for your 3D models.
Exactly. And the best part is it does all of this without sacrificing the visual quality of your models.
It's like magic.
It's pretty close. And it's incredibly user-friendly.
That's always a plus.
Yeah.
Well, I think we've covered a lot of ground today, from creating those basic scenes to optimizing performance and even pushing the boundaries of what's possible with graphics.
We've explored a lot of really cool features.
We have. And I have to say, OGRE 3D, it's an incredibly impressive engine.
It really is. And it's a testament to the power of open source software and the passion of the game development community.
Couldn't agree more. And to our listener who sent in all this amazing info, a huge thank you for inspiring today's deep dive.
Yes, thank you.
And remember, this is really just the tip of the iceberg when it comes to OGRE 3D. There's a whole world of possibilities out there, so keep experimenting, keep learning, and most importantly, keep creating.